Comedian's Wife podcast. I'm your host, Carrie Clausen. Join my husband, stand-up comedian Leland Clausen, and I as we chat with guests about marriage, family, work, and everything in between. On today's episode, we have the directors of Family Life Canada, Neil and Cheryl Josephson.
Thanks so much for coming on today. We know you guys are busy. We were just talking to you earlier. We heard how busy you are. So thanks for making some time for us. We appreciate
it. Our pleasure.
All of our guests so far have been connected through Leland, but you guys, we actually go way back to our Melfort, Saskatchewan days. Neil, you were a pastor at a church in Melfort, and you guys led the youth, and my church was so small that we kind of jumped in and joined you guys. But your ministry has taken you all over the place since then.
Do you want to talk about my connection? Because Cheryl was like on CKBI.
That's true. In Prince Albert.
When you were a baby. And I lived in Prince Albert. When would that have been in? Were you pastoring then?
We lived in Prince Albert twice. We lived there from 85 to 87. And then
I probably asked you this.
90 to 95.
Oh, okay.
You wouldn't believe how many people I bump into say, you know what? I used to watch you, I think, when I was a kid.
I didn't say that.
No, but the implication was
that
there.
You feel old.
But to all your Saskatchewan listeners, we love Saskatchewan. We love living there. We love Melfort. We love Prince Albert. Yeah. We love where we are now too. But yeah, Saskatchewan.
I had a buddy just put up. Well, he's a comedian from Prince Albert, and he just posted today. I love Northern Saskatchewan, and then he showed all these pictures. He was out fishing already on the lakes and stuff, and the Northern Lights. It was amazing pictures. Yeah. Gorgeous up there.
We have great memories.
It is. Not many people, though, move to Saskatchewan
Are you done your sentence?
I was going to say intentionally.
Wow.
I love Saskatchewan. Ouch. Obviously, it's my home. It's my home province. But yeah, so what brought you guys there? Tell us your journey and how you've gotten here now to BC.
Oh, wow.
No, we don't have enough time for that. We'll give you the quick abbreviated version.
Okay, sounds good. Close notes.
So I'll give you the
Neil
macro
doesn't do
thing.
Anything abbreviated.
I don't do anything short. I'm the classic guy. When you ask me what time it is, I'll tell you how to build a clock.
Yes.
You know, it's like, so here's the deal, though. Our whole life, here's the macro thing, and Cheryl can give you the details. I think life's about trying to be a good steward of whatever God gives you, the gifts he gives you, the energy he gives you, the health he gives you, whatever. So we've always tried to do that. And so in the course of that, we've tried to juggle different careers, and mine primarily is in education. So we were out here. I had just finished another degree at Regent College, and Cheryl was working in broadcast. She was doing the 6 o'clock news here in Vancouver. And that's when we had this great life moment about what's life about. And that took us back to Prince Albert. Why don't you talk about that?
Wait, hang on a second. Are you, should we have said Dr. Neil? Are you a doctor?
No, I'm not.
Give you a doctorate?
I do not, but you can call me if you want.
All of a sudden, I panicked. I've been disrespecting you this whole time.
I have a couple master's degrees, but I don't have a doctor.
He's got enough degrees to have it, but he didn't go that way.
You can call me your master.
Okay, we'll do that.
Master Neil, how are you today? I don't know why I did it with an accent. It seemed more appropriate. Anyway, I cut you off, Cheryl. I apologize.
So for most of our life, Neil's been involved in Christian education, primarily at a Bible college. And I have been involved in broadcasts. So we ended up moving around a little bit. And as Neil said, we ended up here. I was doing the 6 o'clock news here in Vancouver. Neil was a stay-at-home dad with the kids, which was an experience in and of itself.
I loved it.
He was pretty good at it, except the kids almost starved. Well, not really starved.
No, we ate enough. We just didn't eat well.
Yes.
You know, there's a difference.
Right.
Yes, they almost got scurvy, let me put it that way. They just...
Well, there's not enough in those Chef Boyardee cans.
Not enough for them. Apparently is not okay every day.
But they
had a little fruit to
but
that.
They had a blast, and he was a really good stay-at-home dad. But here's the deal. So I was working really long hours and commute about an hour in Vancouver. And one night as I was tucking the kids into bed, they called me by the nanny's name. Good night, Sue. And I'm like, okay, we got to make a change here. Something has to happen. So I said to Neil, we need to make a change in our life. This isn't I really want to use my gifts, and I think I have gifts in communication and broadcasts, and I love doing that, but I can't do it at the expense of our family. So I said, wherever you want to go, whatever God calls you to do, whatever job you want to take, you go for it, and I'll follow you. So I had no idea it would be to Prince Albert, Saskatchewan.
I don't know why I thought, so we didn't
know what we had in Prince Albert then, did we?
No.
You were
I think
coming
we
from
no,
Vancouver?
There's two rounds, so I was... Well,
yeah, like we're saying, in 85 to 87, but you were right, Leland. This is not a career move, right?
Oh my
so
God.
She started off at CKVI in the mid-80s. Actually, she started off at CGAVR Radio.
In Malford. That's where we knew you, Carrie.
Oh, really?
In 1982. Oh, and she did just a few hours a week. You did sort of the...
I did the 5 a.m. news on Saturday. Like the, you know, the little radio cut-in news things. And so it was just me and like maybe a few cows and a farmer.
Probably quite a few farmers, actually.
But that was a great place to hone my skills because nobody was listening.
So she did the radio. Then she did two years when we moved to Prince Albert. She was on air TV with CKVI. Then she went to Vancouver. So this is not a move, right? Like you go from Prince Albert to Vancouver. And Cheryl was the first sports anchor, female sports anchor in Canada in 1983.
Yeah, we don't usually talk about that, though, because I was really bad.
You were good.
I don't believe you.
I did not create this beautiful pathway for my sisters behind me. I was terrible. No, I was terrible.
That's why they're all there.
I set us all back a decade, I think.
then she shifted over to news because while you were a high school athlete, university athlete, she came up with it and said, I can't care enough about sports. So, you know, like people that are really into sports. And just, again, I mean, this woman has played tons of sports in high school and university, but she just couldn't, like, live and die.
Well, in sports casting, all you do is come up with euphemisms for one. You know, trounced,
you needed to
clobbered,
have
all these.
You need to have your catchphrase. That's what you needed, you needed to have. Boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah. I was pretty much as bad as that guy.
So let's try to bring something helpful to your listeners out of this.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we've discovered is in this whole thing about trying to be a steward of your life, it's not tidy and it's not sequential and it's not linear. So Cheryl's in Vancouver and, you know, full truth, we left Prince Albert to move to Vancouver in 1987 because frankly, Ed burned out, which is partly why I stayed home with the boys for a couple years. And so then she went to work and, you know, God really blessed her. I mean, she's talented, but you know, everything we have is from God. God really blessed her with these great opportunities. So she goes from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan to Vancouver. That's a crazy career move. What's crazier is you go from Vancouver doing the 6 o'clock news back to Prince Albert. Like that is not what you do if you're trying to build a career.
Yeah.
Did people try and talk you out of it, Cheryl?
A few people. And there was a couple of columns in the newspaper, like Red Robinson was sort of the guy who was commenting on
you know,
media affairs. And he's like, I can't even remember the words, but it was like, this woman is crazy. Like, what is she doing?
What is going on here?
Yeah. And so they kind of, because it was a family move. And I said that. Yeah. I said, we're making this choice for our family. So people respected it, but there was no category for that with most of my colleagues. Yeah. It was sort of like.
Yeah. And you did get some sort of really off record kind of comments, like people going, oh man, I would do that. But I can't afford it. You know, we got these bills and these mortgages and whatever.
Right.
And it was very, very difficult. And I just really want to be clear here, too. We're not preaching for or against two-income homes or one-income homes or who works outside the house, who doesn't. This is how we sorted it. And frankly, we've done everything. Like Cheryl said, I've been at home full-time while she's worked full-time, vice versa. At any rate.
I don't know, Neil. You're making a good case for me staying at home.
Which conveniently he is right now.
Well, and you don't have to feed any children.
I think
right
that's what I'm getting from this.
Yes.
That's so funny.
It sounds like you guys have really just, it's been teamwork for you. You've been working together and helping each other. But that's not the end, right? So you were then in Prince Albert. Cheryl, weren't you on TV as well? You had a TV show for a while. Toronto?
I did. Yeah. So in the middle, go ahead.
So we moved the Bible College back to Calgary.
You don't have to give them the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I did. So we moved the Bible College back to Calgary. Then when we were in Calgary, all of a sudden, and the kids are older.
Covenant.
So all of a sudden, their family situation is different
so
than what took us out of Vancouver. So you revisited and you started to
say, I get my career back.
What should I do?
So I went back to news. did that in Calgary for about 12 years. And then I started, to be honest, all the hard news was getting to me. I actually was reporting on a story about a little boy who had been suffocated by his live-in his mom's live-in boyfriend.
No.
And I started to cry on air. And the tears are kind of rolling down my face as I'm sort of trying to report. And afterwards, my news director, who was just a lovely, lovely man, said, "Cheryl, you gotta pull yourself together. You can't do that. And, you know, cry off air, but you can't cry on air." And I think I just realized that all the reporting of the bad news had just kind of built up in me. So then I got this opportunity to go host Canadian Living, which is a kind of a women's fluff show, and talk about cooking and decorating and gardening and women's health. And it was so it was super fun. And I loved doing it for 2 years. And then I went back to broadcast news after that and finished up my career there. So
Cheryl neglected to mention we were living in Calgary, but the show was in Toronto. Yeah. So she'd fly out every Sunday night and come back every Thursday night.
Wow.
So
it's a bit of a commute.
Yeah.
And how old were your boys then?
Benjamin was away at university and Brady was in 11th grade. So, but the upside of this job was that I only did it for 6 months and then I got to be home full time the rest of the thing, but I got paid for a whole year. So anyway, you're getting way more details about our lives than, you know, really anybody should care about. But I will tell
syndicated
you this.
Syndicated television we're learning about.
I will tell you this. Two things happened. When we went to Prince Albert and everybody said, "You're crazy. You'll never get back into the business. Like if you leave it now, you know, you're a woman, you're not getting any younger. And if you get out of it, you won't get back." And I remember really honestly having to give over my career and say, I'm willing to do that, you know, for the sake of our family. But God is a kind God. And I think when we honor him, when we seek him first, when we do actually, and we only did this because it was right for us, not that it's right for everybody else, as Neil said, but it was what God was asking us to do. And we felt like we were being obedient to that. And then I just find that God just gives you gifts, gift upon gift when you follow his principles. And so to be able to get back my career and be able to just really love it for another 15 years after that was amazing. And so I don't know that I would have the guts to make the moves we've made if we really didn't trust that God was in them and that God would provide. And he has through our entire career.
Absolutely.
So then fast forward, we're in Calgary working. I'm back in media and Neil's president of a Bible college. He feels it's time to step down. So he does. So we get out of the blue this call from a church in California to come be their marriage pastors. So this is a mega church, 7,000 people when we went there. And we're like, we know nothing. Like we're married, but that's pretty much all we know. So
the pastor was a friend of ours and he called up and he said, "Look, so this church is exploding. We're doing a lot of great things, but we have this problem. We help people get married. We have premarital classes and whatnot. And then we have divorce recovery and we have a counseling center if your marriage is in crisis." But he said, "Between I do and I'm done, we don't do anything. It's just sort of like, we hope you do okay. We help you get married and we'll help you try not to be divorced." And he said, "That's crazy. We need to do something in the middle." So that really has changed the course of our life. So that's what we were invited to go down and do. Mm. And we worked hard at that, learned so, so much. And the church was gracious to us to let us learn. And it was awesome. And then in 2010, we got invited to come to Family Life Canada. So really since 2006, we've been working together, which we hadn't done before. And then
I realize this isn't a video podcast, but you would see the grimace in my face.
And then with full that time, tear came down her cheek again.
Yeah, exactly.
And then full time, really just trying to understand how you bless people in marriages and encourage people in marriages, and that's what we've been doing for the last 14 years. So.
It's been great,
amazing.
Yeah,
14. Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah,
I love it, and I love that. I probably because this is so much our life, but I love that you guys maybe didn't necessarily know the next steps, that you kind of were really trusting God and trying to be obedient. Yeah. I love that because especially for Leland and I, we definitely don't know what's around the corner.
Yeah.
And it feels wrong on some level, doesn't it, to not be more prepared and planning, but that's very cool. I love it and how God's used you guys.
Well, and I think
he's incredible.
Two things that I think you need to use the gifts God's given you. And we're proud of you, Leland, for doing that, even though it's been swimming upstream for a lot of years, I think maybe. But also
that, getting tired.
Yeah, you do get tired of that. I can only imagine. Absolutely. And then the other thing is, if you're on the same page and on the same team and you see yourself as a team, then when it's not like, well, why aren't you? And how come you don't? And if only you could provide, or if only, you know, I think we've never had that attitude. We're sort of like, how do we both live into the giftedness that God's wired into us, while caring for our family, while really loving each other and, you know, kind of backing each other up. And so we've done the front burner, back burner thing quite a bit, sort of like, okay, this is your season to front burner your career, or this is your season to front burner what God's, you know, the passion that God's put in your heart. I'll back burner mine for a while to really support you. And I think because we've been able to kind of go back and forth and back and forth, it's all evened out in the long run. But anyway.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And you're stronger together. You really are. And sorry, Neil.
I was going to say, this is a bit of a new season for you too, Carrie.
It is. Yeah. And I think, you know, throughout Leland's career, I've played a part in helping him in different ways, administratively, more in the past. And I haven't wanted to be kind of out front.
Maybe in motivation.
Motivation.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Telling me to get better.
Yes. Telling him he's not funny. You need to get funnier.
You need to do more work on
this. That's been my gift. Oh, God's really been using that.
Way to go, Carrie.
Get funnier. That's awesome.
Encouragement.
But I have been very inspired by couples that, and you can clearly see how they are so much stronger together. And when they're focused on the same purpose and God-given gifts that they have. So
I think that's something that you can remind yourself of too, though. Like what I'm saying is, hey, we're a team, but then you forget daily. Do you know what I mean? And you have to remind yourself constantly, no, we're a team.
That selfishness just wants to kick in.
Oh, always.
maybe that's just me. All you guys are silent. Like, what? No, we're a team. And I'm like, well, I think about myself a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you're right.
Absolutely.
And in retrospect, it sounds a lot easier than it was going through it. You know, we're 41 years into this, you guys. So, you know, we've got some miles on the tire. So,
yeah, we just bumped into this last weekend too. I mean, we're both strategic and we both have leadership responsibilities in our life at different times. So there's more than the occasional moment, believe us, where we both know what needs to be done, but we think it's different. And, you know, you just got to sort it out. Like, you know, I think it should be A, she thinks it should be B. And what are you going to do? Because you can't do them both, you know, like.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds so familiar.
He's being actually pretty gracious. What happened was, we were doing a live webinar and our audio went out. And so I was playing around with the buttons and I actually ended the webinar. So 600 people are suddenly gone. And I did it by hitting a button. And so,
I think my jaw dropped to the ground.
He did.
What just happened?
He did.
What did you just do?
What happened? And so I'm like, okay, I'm in fix it mode. I start, you know, blah, 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 blah. And at one point I actually literally elbowed him out of the way so that I could actually fix this. And anyway, so
here we are, still married, 4 years, 4 days later.
I love
still
it.
Working together.
Love it, love it. That actually makes me kind of go on to my next thing. We went to one of your marriage conferences, Family Life. It used to be called, I can't even remember, but it's now called.
Used to be called A Weekend to Remember, and you can't remember. I can't remember the name of it, but I remember it was memorable.
So it is actually Family Life Canada's Weekend Getaway.
That's correct.
Leland and I did that. How many years ago was that now? Maybe five? Maybe, no.
It was a getaway in Whistler.
It was Whistler. It was amazing.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was so good. But there was tons of things that I loved about the conference. But one of the main things was that I was surprised by how reassuring I found it that we were not the only ones struggling with, it seemed like a lot of common issues.
Yeah.
So all the, you know, if I name the top three things that kind of we struggle with, you guys address them, and everyone seemed to also be struggling with
You almost used our names, it felt like. Now, but sometimes Leland wants to do this and Carrie thinks it's what? Yeah. Did he just say my name?
Yeah, it was, I loved that. So could you guys, do you guys mind just at the, off the top of your heads, just kind of giving us an idea, what are the main things that couples are struggling with and what help can they get for those? Maybe just the top three? Is that hard
Don't
to...
give away the seminar. Don't give away the conference.
Yeah, we'll give a teaser, but you've got to come to the conference to...
Absolutely.
Well, I'm glad you came, and we get that feedback quite a bit, Carrie. Mm-hmm. People going, oh, because we speak openly and candidly, there's always two couples teaching, both husband and wife are teaching, and then there's two couples. And one of our hallmarks is people have to be genuine. You got to share your losses as well as your victories. You got to share the hard lessons as well as, you know, the where you've triumphed. And so that comes out in the weekend. And I think that really helps a lot of people in the audience go, oh, I get it. This is endemic to marriage in general. I thought it was just me, mm-hmm. right? I just thought it was me or my spouse. Yeah. And now I start to realize, this is the difficulty of two people trying to build one family, trying to build one marriage, trying to build one life. So that's reassuring. So I'd say that the rub areas that present are the differences that we have in and around sex, in and around parenting. And then some kids don't have, some people don't have kids, but then that's often a difficulty of its own. Either they want to have kids and they can't, or one does and one doesn't. So just in and around that whole parenting thing, whether you have them or not. Mm-hmm. And then finances, you know, is the other. But we notice I said the presenting issues. I think the root of a lot of people's struggle in marriage is that we're just so dang different. And if your starting point is we're not supposed to be different. If I'd married somebody different, we wouldn't be having this fight. If I married somebody different, we'd think the same. And the answer is no, you wouldn't. You just have a different set of issues. You'd have a different set of differences.
That's a lot of differences in that sentence there. Yeah, and so we try to go after it, not necessarily from the presenting issue, but Neil's right. Those are the most common presenting issues, sex, kids, and money. But we try to go after it sort of like from the conflict management side and the communication side, because then no matter what the issue is, we kind of give couples principles to kind of get on the same page. Because honestly, that's what it is. If you always see everything that's different as sort of a battle, like me against you, and one of us has to win, one of us has to lose in whatever it is, in a decision on parenting, a decision on money, if we can, you know, we teach about kind of coming around the table so that the issue is still in the middle of the table, but now we're on the same side of the table, looking at it together and going after it together, and somehow just helping couples think that through. And so I think when you say we came away from that feeling like we're not the only people in the world, there's just a relief in that. And it's counterintuitive. Yeah. And I think this is why a lot of marriage people talk about how great their own marriage is, and how because they want it to be inspirational and aspirational, and you should have a marriage like this too. Don't you want it? But it has the opposite effect, actually. Yeah. People get discouraged, like, we can't do that. We're, you know, whereas when we talk, this has been one of the most frustrating things about marriage ministry is Neil and I have done a lot of things really well in our marriage, but it's the stuff we've done poorly that helps people the most.
Oh, funny. Isn't that interesting?
The more honest we are about that stuff, and the more effective our work is.
The more helpful it is for people.
They don't care about what we've done well.
We would be so good at that.
We have so many things we've done poorly.
I have to say,
so there's so much.
Before we went, I was surprised. I really wanted to go, and I was excited about going. But then as the date got closer, I started getting really nervous because I felt like, oh, no, this is going to dredge up.
You meant grouchy. That's what you said, but you meant grouchy?
No, I started to get nervous. Probably.
You see what I'm saying?
Seemed grouchy. Okay. But such an amazing weekend, and we learned so much.
Here's the one thing that I will highlight from that weekend. You kept trying to look on my answers for the little quiz thing. I was like, hey, stop.
Aren't we supposed to share that stuff?
Yeah, but not while I'm doing it, because then you're swaying me into, okay, so it's not a four. I guess I'll make it a seven.
Are we we a two, honey? Are we? Can we be a two?
What? You only gave me a three? No, it was awesome. I think at the conference, you guys also shared that you kind of feel like you get spiritually attacked before you do a conference. Do you find that that's common when you guys have to speak?
Well, we'll probably answer this a little bit differently.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yes, we have a fight almost every time before we go to speak. So I don't know if that's attack or just gives us more content to work with. Fresh content.
I call it research. No, you know, I think...
fresh content.
I believe there is such a thing as spiritual attack. I think probably the shade of difference between us is sometimes I don't know if it's spiritual attack. I think sometimes it's me just being a butthead, you know, like being selfish or being insensitive.
Sure.
Is that spiritual attack? Like I have this struggle. Sometimes when people do spiritual attack, it's a way of relieving themselves of personal responsibility.
Right.
So, you know, I shouldn't have done that, but it was spiritual attack. No, I did that because I'm a goofball. You know, so I want to own my stuff, I guess. So, but I do believe there's such a thing as spiritual attack.
Yep.
And I do agree with Cheryl. In the run up to a weekend, we often have friction.
Yeah.
Yeah, friction.
And I think some of it is, I am a kind of a private person, which is crazy for being in media so many years. But you can hide behind, you know this, Leland, you can hide behind a microphone. Sure. And you can hide behind a camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know your lines, you've got your teleprompter. Mm-hmm. you don't have to be personal.
I'm a full-on introvert. I can get on a stage, it's no problem at all, but and I can put on mm-hmm. meeting people after the shows and all that kind of stuff, but it drains me.
That's it.
Me too, actually. Yeah.
I get back to the hotel and it's like I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to do anything. I just want to be alone.
So I think that some of it is a trigger for me. Sort of like, I know, because we talk about all of our, in our seminars, we talk about all of the stuff we haven't done well. And a lot of our stuff kind of centers around our sexual relationship. The junk in our marriage is primarily located in that department. And so I kind of think I brace myself like, I'm going to have to, you know, open it all up for the world again and feel the feels again. And so I think I get a little bit prickly about it. So it's definitely human, but I honestly do believe that what's accomplished in those weekends is kingdom work. We think real kingdom advances are made when marriages are strengthened. And so I do believe there's some spiritual pushback against that, because the more divided our homes are, the more divided our marriages are, the more messed up our country gets, the more messed up our churches get. And I think the evil in our world is quite delighted when those things break down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love your transparency, you guys. I really do feel like that is such a gift for people. And yeah, it's kind of shocking how reassuring it is to just hear that other people struggle the same way
we're
you
not
do.
The one.
It's I don't know why, but you do feel alone, right? And isolated, and like you're the only ones that have trouble. And so how can people get connected with you guys at Family Life?
Well, right now in these days where we're not able to do live events, we've really tried to up our game online. So if anybody wants to check out familylifecanada.live, that's where we're parking, making available all our digital stuff. So we have a series of podcasts too. So we need to have you guys back on our podcast so then we can trade podcasts.
I love it.
So again, and I'm glad if people are tuning into this podcast, you guys are trying to do a great job, encourage people.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep listening to this podcast. If you got some time, check out what we do at Family Life Canada.
Ours isn't as funny.
No, we're not near as funny.
No.
Probably a lot more helpful.
Yours is useful. Ours is time wasting.
We'll leave that to the listener. And then we've made a really big commitment in May and June here to do weekly webinars. So these are 1-hour sessions on it's a taste of what marriage conference is like with us. So we teach a bit. We throw to the people to have some conversations. We put in some polls. But the past episodes are up on that website. familylifecanada.live, and then the future ones, you can sign up for that. So
even the one I crashed is up. We actually had to do the whole thing.
We had to redo the whole thing. So you won't see the crash.
No. Yeah. If only you could, it would look pretty impressive.
You were saying before we started recording that it's not the same as the conference, though. It is different content, so that people aren't, you can still go to a live conference once that's up and running.
Yeah, I mean, obviously marriage is marriage, and so there's some things that are the same. There's only so many things to talk about. So yeah, we do talk about communication. We talk about conflict management. Next week, we're talking about parenting. The week after, we're talking about sex. So the topics are the same, but the way we come at them are a little bit different, and the conversations are different. So it's a different thing than if you've gone to the weekends, but.
Did you make sex the last thing? Is it the last one?
No, actually, the last one's about forgiveness, so maybe that's symbolic.
Yeah.
That's a good one to do last.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? You cannot build a lasting marriage that's going to be durable and flexible and breathing without practicing forgiveness.
We actually had to do it last night.
Oh, I thought you were going to say without sex.
No, well, that too.
That too.
I was like, okay. I was tracking with you for a while.
You for awesome. This. Bless you for all you're doing to, encourage other couples. Good on you.
Thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it was fun.
Always so nice to talk to you.
God bless. Bye for now.